Welcome to Ghost Writers Anonymous, an inspirational and interactive podcast where we create worlds through words and writing. I'm Kelsey, and today I'd like to know, if you were a spice on the Indian spice trade, what spice would you be? I would be ginger. Today I'm going to share another excerpt from this book that I'm writing. It's under the chapter heading Robins, and when I first wrote it, I actually didn't care for it all that much. It was more of a filler scene or placeholder scene for me to understand the relationship of Olga and Dahlia, but also to leave room for me to give Dahlia growth from infancy to adulthood. The more I read the scene, the more I like it. So I'll share it with you guys, and then I'll discuss it. Look, Dahlia, babies. Two eyes the color of lamb's ear peeked over the edge of a tidy nest. Inside, four bright blue eggs glowed like jewels in a treasure chest. Those aren't babies, Grammy, frowned Dahlia. Grandmother, corrected Olga. And they will be babies, just like you were. I didn't come from an egg, Grandmother, did I? Who's to say you didn't? Dahlia's eyebrows grew close, puzzling over the possibilities. She pushed her red-streaked hair aside with a grubby palm. I say so. Do you? Well, you know best, Olga conceded. She pointed to the knee-high fence. Look, I'll bet that's the mother bird right there. She is watching us closely. Dahlia tracked Olga's gesture to a vapid bird perched on the fence post. But that can't be the mother, Dahlia protested. And why not? Asked Olga. She isn't blue. Olga laughed patiently. You're right, she's not. Robins are mischievous that way. They lay these extraordinary blue eggs and hatch into very plain birds. Dahlia's eyes were rimming with a toddler's tears. It's ugly, she yelled. Olga ushered her away from the bird's nest. Yes, I suppose I felt that way once, until I saw a white robin. Dahlia eyed the robin, imagining it robed in white. He had the faintest shade of an orange breast, Olga went on, almost like the color of your hair. Did you know their breast feathers are a reflection of their diet? Dahlia trailed an ant along her arm while Olga lectured. I'll bet if you eat any more of those carrots from the garden, your skin will turn orange too. Dahlia looked up at Olga sharply, a scowl etched into her face. Olga drug a finger down her own jutted chin in feigned consideration. Or maybe, she studied Dahlia, you'll grow tall ears, long feet, and a little cotton tail. My, wouldn't you be fast? Dahlia was indignant. I already am fast. Olga drew up to her full height. Oh, are you now? She crossed her arms. Show me. Run and touch the fence. In the determined seriousness of a 3-year-old, Dahlia ran for the fence. The robin erupted skyward and took sanctuary in the cottage eaves. I'm impressed, praised Olga. That's very good, Dahlia. Keep it up, and you'll outrun even the gingerbread man. Dahlia beamed with confidence and dashed back to Olga. Let's make some, Grandmother. She wrung her hands in Olga's white apron and bounced up and down. All right, but you're the chef. Olga wagged a bent finger at the little girl. Dahlia squealed and clapped her hands in childlike celebration. Gathering their basket of fresh cuttings, the two mazed their way through the thriving garden. Bees bumbled and buzzed all around them. With the anticipation of a sweetened afternoon laying lightly across her heart, Dahlia reached for Olga's hand. And the scene ends there. Looking back on this, I do not think this was intentional, but when Dahlia reaches for Olga's hand, I think that's a good forerunner or foreshadowing for when Death reaches for Abu Gam's hand, when he's drowning in the sea, which I shared that on a previous episode, Villains and Valor. Going back to this particular scene, I was drawing from a lot of personal experience. I don't have kids, I'm not around kids, and so I was trying to put myself in my 3-year-old mindset. I remember my brother mentioning my 4th birthday coming up, and I was, for whatever reason, very angry that he had brought up that I'm 4 when I wasn't yet 4. The indignant side of Dahlia wanting to prove that she's fast and that she knows she's fast. just reminded me a lot of how I was when I was a kid. And Olga's reactions to Dahlia was a bit harder for me to draw from. I was mimicking memories of what adults would say to me when I was a kid, but also how I would react to a kid now, particularly one under my tutelage. Also, as far as the White Robin is concerned, that is an actual robin that's in my neighborhood. I'm not sure if it's male or female, but I just always call it a him. And as for the robin's breast feathers reflecting their diet, that is something I was told. It could just be a myth or an old wives' tale, but I wanted to bookend it with another old wives' tale about carrots. I remember when I was an adolescent, probably sixth grade, I was speaking with someone on this chat room. He was telling me it was either him or his brother had eaten too many carrots and his skin actually started to turn orange in certain places, like blotches. And that just really stuck with me. And so I was kind of playing into that relic of a memory. But robins were a huge deal for me over the summer because I had three different nests in three different trees. Each nest had four eggs each, and I was so excited when I found the eggs to see them hatch. At one point, I had to feed one. A storm had rolled through and blown a nest out. Two of the babies ended up dying, which was so sad. Incubation is huge, and so when they're separated on the cold ground, their energy depletes so quickly. But this one I was able to put in a box. I had actually brushed my dog to get some loose hair to insulate the box, and I put some old socks in there. And the bird was pretty healthy, and it was able to survive, but the parents had left the nest. I've learned that robin parents, some of them are pretty swift to leave their younglings for dead. And having two other nests that had gone to hell in a handbasket very quick after a raid, I was thinking, oh, it's happening again. And so I took it upon myself to help this bird out because I had seen at that point, I think, 10 baby bird deaths, and I was not wanting to see another. It's amazing to me how these things can even take flight, which played into my whole theme of death and knowing death pretty well, the way this whole thing panned out. And whatever happened to it from there, I'm not sure. I have my own suspicions. Some of them aren't very good. Sometimes no news is good news, so I'm just gonna let it go. But what I'm getting at here is it was a joyous time to have these birds nesting in my yard, but it turned into a huge period of grief. So this was a space for me to memorialize those robins. Also, the gingerbread man is another little inside joke for me because I love gingerbread cookies, particularly my gingerbread cookies. I add a lot of molasses, a lot of cloves. They're about an inch and a half thick. So Olga and Dahlia making gingerbread cookies together also was very meaningful to me. And this is an older scene too. It's one of the first series of scenes that I wrote, so I think I've had more time to grow accustomed to it. I really haven't altered it that much. I added a few more lines to it. The initial scene didn't have any conclusive statement. It ended abruptly, and so I was able to go back and kind of smooth it out to where it had a more organic lull where it can move on to another scene and not feel choppy. I had planned to maybe write another scene with Dahlia where she's still a kid but maybe more adolescent, maybe exploring the dark woods a little bit, particularly where she encounters the tree that Valak is entombed in and has some sort of draw to it or connection to it. I think that'd be really cool. If you guys are writing something and you want to share it, please email us at gwritersanon@gmail.com. You can peruse our Facebook page, Ghost Writers Anonymous. We'll see you on Wednesday. I had